from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Every Monday and Friday, and when we need him, Ben Standig is with us. He is our Washington football franchise Commanders insider on this show, at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Read him on The Athletic and listen to his brand new podcast. It's really not brand new. It just has a new title. And the new title is Last Man Standing. So if you were a subscriber to the old title podcast, you just need to resubscribe to Last Man Standing. Ben's at practice right now, and you just texted me that the head coach is barking down in distances. Can we hear any of that?
Well, you might. They're in a little bit of a break at the moment. But he was doing it like over like a mic, loudspeaker or something, where he was going like, okay, you know, it's... 30 seconds left, third down, whatever the, you know, whatever it might be, and they were going from there. So they're working on situations today, right now. Because we'll say that they're like inside, they're Jaden Daniels is at his own 3, working out of play. So we'll see if we hear DQ. But if he starts talking again, you will definitely hear it.
So you jumped on with us at the end of the show yesterday, and we talked about the Jahan Dotson trade. Dan Quinn will speak after practice today, so we'll find out what his thoughts were on why they traded Jahan Dotson. We really didn't get much from Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, although I did think one of the answers from Kingsbury, just about what they were looking for in the wide receiver room, was kind of another indication of why they may have moved on from him. But have you had any other thoughts or any other conversations that sparked thoughts since we talked yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've sort of heard or theorized since has been largely in line with where I've been at for the last, 2 weeks or so, which is to say that, I just don't think, he was a good, spiritual fit. May not be accurate, but just, here's my view of this. This kind of ties into the Brandon Ayuk thing we were talking about yesterday. I just think for year one, based on everything that they've done, where they didn't go crazy in free agency, they kept their picks. They're clearly, if they don't use the term rebuilding, whatever, but that's clearly kind of what they're doing. And in that first year, when you're resetting everything, including the tone, it is about establishing that competitive baseline or whatever it is that you were trying to establish. And that is what they are trying to do. And I just don't think that Jahan, relative to other players, was giving them that, which isn't to say that it's a bad player. It's more like an NBA team scenario where some teams are up tempo and shooting threes, and other teams are by defense and grinding it in the paint. And this group is sort of that ladder mentality, and he's more of that finesse mentality. And it just didn't seem like it was working. And then beyond that, it seemed to me that he just didn't seem to maybe have the same confidence that he did earlier in his time here. So I think those are the factors. It's not like, I think Zacchaeus has had a better camp, but I can't comprehend. They were like, oh, Zacchaeus is so good, we'll get rid of Jahan. And I know, but, the question of, is this about getting another deal, you know, whether it's Ayuk or somebody else. I still don't think that's what's happening here, but I just think from a fit standpoint, he just wasn't for them. And rather than hope and pray that something would change or waiting and, you know, to see what happened, they decided to, you know, to get it to move ahead quickly. And I think that's kind of why they made the deal.
Talking to Ben Standing, he's out of practice today. Quinn will speak. I'm sure Chris will have a lot of what he said relative to the Jahan Dotson trade during his show, unless it happens at the end of our show today. So Quinn told me, you know, in my interview with him that There are several jobs, you know, in play. There's a lot up for grabs on Sunday night, maybe as, you know, many as many as seven spots on the team. He actually emphasized, though, that the contribution questions are larger, meaning who's actually going to be the big contributors. And we may not see guys in the first 3 weeks that end up becoming the biggest contributors down the road as they try to figure things out. What positions are up for grabs from your standpoint? Obviously, the kicker situation, even though they made a trade, but there's no guarantee, right? You don't think there's this guarantees that Cade York is on the roster for week one, do you?
I don't. I mean, I don't know what the conditions are of that trade, but I would imagine if they were to, you know, he's not here week one, that those conditions are irrelevant. They don't owe Cleveland in anything. So, no, I wouldn't think that. You know, again, we'll see who gets cut on the cutdown day and if that leads to somebody better. But, yeah, I guess they just decided to be proactive, get him in here as soon as possible. Obviously, he was an interesting prospect coming out, but I don't know if it's the yips or just whatever, but he, you know, started to struggle his second year, and that's when they moved on from him to, ironically, Dustin Hopkins. But no, I think that could still be up in the air for sure. Beyond that, in terms of other battles, just in terms of making the roster, I mean, I think the receiver room is now even more open before. Not only is moving Jahan opening up a spot, but, you know, the players that they have, you know, your Byron Pringles, your Kazmir Allen, if we want to count him as a receiver, your Bryson Tremaines, Jamison Crowders, like they all kind of bring different stuff. So it kind of just depends on what it is that they're looking for there. I think part of having moving on from Jahan is to suggest that they like their slot guys, meaning, you know, Zacchaeus, possibly Crowder, McCaffrey would be another one of those guys. So they think they've got some weapons there, some options at least. I think that the depth cornerbacks are still in play. Like they're sort of the top four. But then after that, you know, I think Noah Igbinoghaby is probably good, if nothing else, for like special teams and playing in the slot if needed. But then, you know, the last spot, I don't know, is that Anusium, the undrafted free agent? Is that Tariq Castro Fields, who Dan Quinn highlighted the other day as standing out to him? And then, you know, of course, the backup offensive lineman. And then, you know, there's the Jamin Davis, Fedarian Mathis part of it. Right. It's hard to see a world when you look at the roster that they both are here. Maybe if Johnny Newton somehow starts the year on IR and Jordan McGee, like we know he's going to miss time, but we don't know how much time, so could he start on IR? Maybe that's how they both get on. But other than that, it's hard to see how they both get on. So where, you know, if they are, then who else is going? So, and then I guess maybe another argument would be the third, you know, are they keeping a third quarterback? That type of deal.
Yeah. Are they going to keep a third quarterback?
I don't know. I think one question I do want to try to ask Quinn today, we'll see how it goes, is, okay, so if we're over the competition part for number one, what about two? I mean, Mariota has been, I'm not assuming whatever this groin injury is that serious, but he's still been working on the side. He's not been out here today in the 11th. But even beyond that, like, I'm not saying that Jeff Driscoll has, like, blown him away or anything in practice, but I just, for me personally, I just think, like, Driscoll's got more aggressiveness in his game, both as a runner, but also throwing it down the field. Now, maybe down the field isn't always going to be the best idea if he throws it into traffic, but Mariota's a lot more conservative. So I'm curious. Like, I don't think he would go because they like him for nothing else as a mentor for Jaden Daniels. But, you know, I don't know. It may be absolutely nothing. I'm just possibly overthinking it, which is standard for me in life. But I do kind of wonder if that's any kind of a discussion that would lead to, would they keep three? Now, Sam Hartman, I haven't forgotten about him. He's obviously been out with a shoulder injury. We'll see what his status is for this week. He's been out here today, so it's not like he's clearly going on the IR staff or something. But, yeah, what do they think about him? How does that factor in as well?
You know, last year they implemented the new emergency third quarterback rule, you know, after the 49ers in that championship game against Philadelphia were forced to basically play Christian McCaffrey, a quarterback, you know, in a title game. And that third quarterback has to be on the 53-man roster, I'm pretty sure, but, you know, doesn't need to be active on game day, but could play in the event that the first two quarterbacks got hurt. So he dresses. And I don't know, I kind of lost touch last year. Our team only had Howell and Brissett, right? There was never a third quarterback. But I wonder how many teams did have a third quarterback because of that rule on their 53-man roster. And Do you remember? Wait, Washington didn't have a third quarterback last year.
They just had Jake Fromm on the practice squad all year, but not for the rule that you're discussing. I think it's a good question. You know, you could make the argument on the one hand, you know, again, I'm not discounting that they're going to try to win as many games as they can, but if we're, you know, with an over-under of 6.5 wins, you know, maybe they think, hey, we don't need a third quarterback if something goes that haywire. Well, you know, it's probably not like about a game costing us the playoffs, that type of deal. On the other hand, if you're a team that's, going to truly be scrapping for a wild card spot or a division title, then maybe that's got to be more of an emphasis for, even if it's the worst case scenario. But we'll see. You know, if it's Hartman, I would think that would be more because, hey, they think there's something here and maybe he's their backup quarterback next year. If it's Driscoll, it just may be either, like I said, either A, maybe he's, you know, has a shot to play it too, or just, hey, he's a veteran. By the trade deadline, there's injuries happen. Maybe we can trade him for, even if it's that conditional seventh or whatever. I don't think that's inconceivable. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 49ers. They kept three quarterbacks on their roster all year long last year, just, you know, trying to sense what Adam Peters thought or comes from.
Sure.
They had Purdy, Darnold, and Brandon Allen on the roster, on the 53-man roster all last year.
Well, you would
year.
Think they... You would think they would after what happened in that.
Of course, you know. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. But also taking advantage of the rule that would allow you in that event to do it. Talking to Ben Standig, of course, you said as it relates to corners, the first four seem locked in. You're talking about St. Juice, Davis, San Ristil, and Forbes, right? So you expect Forbes to be on the roster.
Yeah, I haven't really considered them moving on from him,
right?
Not just because he's only going to his second year, but I would think, you know, if you're Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, this is a guy you want to see at the project. You know, maybe they clearly didn't view Jahan Dotson in that way, but considering, you know, the success they had in Dallas with Trevon Diggs and Brand, you know, leading the league in interceptions in consecutive years, Brand setting the record for most touchdowns, interceptions returned for touchdown last year, when Forbes is the guy who held the career record in college, I can't imagine that they wouldn't view him as somebody to work with. Not to mention last week, the full Miami week, Dan Quinn said he probably thought it was Forbes' best week. I think there's still a little question about, like, who are going to be the, you know, outside starters. And, you know, yesterday Joe Witt talked about how Mike Sanders, so they're using him even more now on the outside, even in two receiver sets, which, you know, at his size, you wouldn't have thought that would be the way they would go. But, you know, play in, play out, he really has kind of been looking the most consistent, mostly working out of the slot, but with effort and, you know, certain field maturity out there. But, you know, Forbes, and he mentioned specifically Sanderson with St. Juice, so we'll see if that actually is a harbinger of what's to come. But
if Sanderson is on the outside with St. Juice and they're in nickel, who's the nickel corner?
Well, I guess, you know, look, I think I'm not saying that their safety room is strong, but I think they maybe
Quan
have
Martin?
A few more options. Well, it could be, unless they leave him in the back. You know, they've been talking about, you know, Dominic Hampton playing some linebacker. I don't know if that means he would be with the ones, but, you know, I'm just saying that's a possibility. It could be Quan Martin. You know, maybe Percy Butler has been out there a lot when they were doing three safeties. So
Noah
he could easily be the flop guy. I feel like that's where they're viewing him as a contributor. So, I think, you know, we talked so much about forwards. It's hard to exactly gauge how these guys are doing with no pass rush and all that. But, you know, I don't know that, like, Mike Davis is, like, crushing it out here. So I don't think you have to have him on the field. And, you know, if they don't feel like Forbes, then, yeah, going three safeties wouldn't be crazy at all.
What do they think of KJ Henry so far?
Well, I would think they've got to be somewhat impressed. He looked to me, he's been one of the more consistent presences on the defensive line. And obviously, yes, the caveat, he's typically going up against like backups and things like that. But, you know, I think he's shown good discipline on the edge. I think he's shown good technique getting after the quarterback. And this goes, again, goes to the Jamin Davis thing. Like, I don't want to keep harping on this, but like, I feel like Henry is over Davis. So I don't, you know, now all of a sudden he's either your fifth defensive end, Jamin, or maybe sixth, depending on what they think of Jean-Baptiste. So I think Henry's looked pretty good. You know, Dante Fowler has been out of practice for the last, I don't know, few sessions. I don't get the sense that it's anything serious. Could just be, hey, you're a veteran. Let's go over there and don't stress yourself. But I can see Henry being ahead of Fowler ultimately, just as have a younger guy out there to go with Farrell and Armstrong. So, yeah, I think Henry's looked pretty good to me.
How much have you seen of either three tight end sets or two backs, two tight ends, you know, when you've been able to watch practice? Have you seen Ertz, Bates, and Sinnott on the field at the same time?
I don't think so in a traditional passing set. I mean, you know, if they're doing some sort of goal line or short yardage runs, maybe, but I haven't seen that a ton. It's definitely been more, you know, three receivers and possibly four, you know, one running back and that type of deal. I do think, you know, I know that the Cliff Kingsbury reputation is three and four receivers, and, you know, certainly that's going to be a part of what they do. But when you look at this group in totality, the questions at tackle, the young quarterback, the fact that you probably going to want to emphasize the run game, I can see them playing a fair amount of 12 personnel with two tight ends out there, because, and with John Bates in particular being one of them, because he's really, you know, he continues to stand out as a blocker. And, you know, again, if we're going to have these questions about tackle, which are fair, then that's a good way to help to chip, you know, for one of the guys on the outside to block, to be a lead. You know, maybe they have a design play for Jaden where he, you know, gets out in front of him. I think we saw some of that in the last game. So I don't know about three tight ends, but again, I also would say this, like in the notion of who's going to be the second receiver, you know, with Jahan gone, sure, we're going to look at De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus, but I think going with, you know,
Hurts,
multiple tight ends, going with Eckler or Robinson, Brennan, I think those are the people who probably benefit as much in terms of, you know, targets.
I throw the backs in there too.
Receivers. No, I think it's conceivable that Robinson and Eckler both catch, you know, 40 passes, you know, depending on how things go, you know, maybe more in Eckler's case, depending on if he's purely a, you know, if he's almost like the number two guy when he's in there. So, yeah, I again, I'm not saying that they have tons of weapons, but I think that their weapons are more diverse than just saying who's the second and third receiver right now.
Last one, and I'll let you run and get back to practice. Is Brandon Coleman penciled in week one as a left tackle starter if he's healthy and can practice, you know, starting next week in the lead up to the Tampa game?
Quinn said the other day he wasn't worried about the lack of practices for him, but just more of the progression. And it seems like, you know, they've been impressed with the progression. But that said, you know, he hasn't been out there really since before the preseason opener. So, you know, rookie and all that, I don't know how comfortable you would ultimately feel. And, you know, look, my thing with a guy like, say, Lucas is that it's not that he can't go out there and be a solid tackle for you. It's just that I don't know if he can do it for 17 games, maybe not even 10, maybe not even 8. But they're fine if he's out there. It's not, you know. So I think to that end, maybe they can give Coleman more time to get back to whatever it is, you know, game speed, et cetera. But, you know, before that, he certainly was looking like he was going to be that guy. But, you know, you got to be out here to some degree, especially when you're a rookie. So we'll see how much, you know, Quinn, that's really true. He's not worried about the missing time. I would have to think, though, that's got to be some factor here.
All right, there's actually one more, because you and I have had this hunch for a while, going back even before camp began, and that is that there was a desire to have Kaz Allen make this team and be a big part of their return game. It's clear. I mean, you had the offensive coordinator mention Deebo Samuel and Kaz Allen in the same sentence yesterday. They love him. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I'm wondering if Sunday night, it's like they have to see it. They got to see a big return, or they've got to see a big run out of the backfield, or they got to see a big result, you know, on a reverse out of the slot. Is it big Sunday night for Kaz Allen to produce something special, or do you think that he's penciled in already?
I do kind of think this is one case where you got to see it, right? This is like, you know, your buddy saying his in high school that he's got a girlfriend in Canada, and maybe he even shows you a picture, but you're like, I need to see this to believe it. Like, okay, I get it.
Kevin Malone, she goes to another school, Ben. That's why you don't know her. She goes to another school.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I get it. You know, his high school records are off the charts. Like, literally the best, most touchdowns in a season, right, for any high school player ever. I think I heard you talking about that before.
Yeah.
So there's that. He's a fun element to have out there. He's a gadget guy that you see teams have. But, again, at some point you have to have it. He fumbled last week. I'm with you. I mean, I think all things being equal, they'll find a way to keep him. But it's not like we've seen a ton of actual production from him yet. So, yeah, it would be good for Sunday for no fumbles and actually making a play or two.
All right. We'll talk on Monday, and at that point we can go through your projected 53. I would imagine by Monday at noon when you come on with me, even though the cut down date and time is 4 p.m., although we don't know how this regime handles it. They may give us the 37, you know, cuts all in one fell swoop, but I would imagine they would start to cut some of these players loose on Monday, don't you?
It's possible. You know, so many of the things we're learning, you know, this is the first time, obviously, we're dealing with Peters and Quinn in so many regards, and this is another one. Do they, you know, does it get strung out, or do they, you know, just say, okay, we know what we want to do, let it go? But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if by Monday we start getting some looks. I mean, look, they've already made some choices. Like, they're, you know, even with Jahan, they're not afraid clearly to say, yep, we're moving on from this and not to overthink it. You know, they've cut some other guys. We all might have thought, oh, maybe that player had a chance to make the team, and they moved on. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm sure they already know a handful of guys who definitely are not going to stay. And the ones that are, they'll, you know, that may take more deliberation.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody, during a segment sponsored by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Denton's got a college football preview segment planned for us next. It opens up tomorrow in Dublin, Georgia Tech, and Florida State. And I may have, before the end of the show, the first smell test pick of 2024. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Every Monday and Friday, and when we need him, Ben Standig is with us. He is our Washington football franchise Commanders insider on this show, at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Read him on The Athletic and listen to his brand new podcast. It's really not brand new. It just has a new title. And the new title is Last Man Standing. So if you were a subscriber to the old titled podcast, you just need to resubscribe to Last Man Standing. Ben's at practice right now, and you just texted me that the head coach is barking down in distances. Can we hear any of that?
Well, you might. They're in a little bit of a break at the moment. But he was doing it like over like a mic, loudspeaker or something, where he was going like, okay, you know, it's, you know, 30 seconds left, third down, whatever this, you know, whatever it might be, and they were going from there. So they're working on situations today right now. I could, we'll say that they're like inside their Jaden Daniels is at his own three, working out of play. So we'll see if we hear DQ. But if he starts talking again, you will definitely hear it.
So you jumped on with us at the end of the show yesterday, and we talked about the Jahan Dotson trade. Dan Quinn will speak after practice today, so we'll find out what his thoughts were on why they traded Jahan Dotson. We really didn't get much from Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, although I did think one of the answers from Kingsbury, just about what they were looking for in the wide receiver room, was kind of another indication of why they may have moved on from him. But have you had any other thoughts or any other conversations that sparked thoughts since we talked yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've sort of heard or theorized since, it's been largely in line with where I've been at for the last, 2 weeks or so, which is to say that, I just don't think, he was a good, just a good, spiritual fit, may not be accurate, but just, here's my view of this. This kind of ties into the Brandon Ayuk thing we were talking about yesterday. I just think for year one, based on everything that they've done, where they didn't go crazy in free agency, they kept their picks. They're clearly, if they don't use the term rebuilding, whatever, but that's clearly kind of what they're doing. And in that first year, when you're resetting everything, including the tone, it is about establishing that competitive baseline or whatever it is that you were trying to establish. And that is what they are trying to do. And I just don't think that Jahan, relative to other players, was giving them that, which isn't to say that it's a bad player. It's more like an NBA team scenario where some teams are up tempo and shooting threes, and other teams are by defense and grinding it in the paint. And this group is sort of that ladder mentality, and he's more of that finesse mentality. And it just didn't seem like it was working. And then beyond that, it seemed to me that it just didn't seem to maybe have the same confidence that he did earlier in his time here. So I think those are the factors. It's not like, I think Zacchaeus has had a better camp, but I can't comprehend. They were like, oh, Zacchaeus is so good, we'll get rid of Jahan. And I know that, the question of, is this about getting another deal, whether it's Ayuk or somebody else, I still don't think that's what's happening here. But I just think from a fit standpoint, he just wasn't for them. And rather than hope and pray that something would change, or waiting and, to see what happened, they decided to move ahead quickly. And I think that's kind of why they made the deal.
Talking to Ben Standing, he's out of practice today. Quinn will speak. I'm sure Chris will have a lot of what he said relative to the Jahan Dotson trade during his show, unless it happens at the end of our show today. So Quinn told me, in my interview with him, that there are several jobs, in play. There's a lot up for grabs on Sunday night, maybe as many as seven spots on the team. He actually emphasized, though, that the contribution questions are larger, meaning who's actually going to be the big contributors. And we may not see guys in the first 3 weeks that end up becoming the biggest contributors down the road as they try to figure things out. What positions are up for grabs from your standpoint? Obviously, the kicker situation, even though they made a trade, but there's no guarantee, right? You don't think this guarantees that Cade York is on the roster for week one, do you?
I don't. I mean, I don't know what the conditions are of that trade, but I would imagine if they were to, you know, he's not here week one, that those conditions are irrelevant. They don't owe Cleveland anything. So no, I wouldn't think that. You know, again, we'll see who gets cut on the cutdown day, and if that leads to somebody better. But yeah, I guess they just decided to be proactive, get him in here as soon as possible. Obviously, he was an interesting prospect coming out, but I don't know if it's the Gips or just whatever, but he, you know, started to struggle his second year, and that's when they moved on from him to, ironically, Dustin Hopkins. But no, I think that could still be up in the air for sure. Beyond that, in terms of other battles, just in terms of making the roster, I mean, I think the receiver room is now even more open before. Not only is moving Jahan opening up a spot, but, you know, the players that they have, you know, your Byron Pringles, your Kazmir Allen, if we want to count him as a receiver, your Bryson Tremaines, Jamison Crowders, like they all kind of bring different stuff. So it kind of just depends on what it is that they're looking for there. I think part of moving on from Jahan is to suggest that they like their slot guys, meaning, you know, Zacchaeus, possibly Crowder, McCaffrey would be another one of those guys. So they think they've got some weapons there, some options at least. I think that the depth cornerbacks are still in play. Like, they're sort of the top four. But then after that, you know, I think Noah Igbinogheli is probably good, if nothing else, for like special teams and playing in the slot if needed. But then, you know, the last spot, I don't know, is that Anusian, the undrafted free agent, is that Tariq Castro Fields, who Dan Quinn highlighted the other day as standing out to him. And then, you know, of course, the backup offensive lineman. And then, you know, there's the Jamin Davis for Darian Mathis part of it. Right. It's hard to see a world when you look at the roster that they both are here. Maybe if Johnny Newton somehow starts the year on IR and Jordan McGee, like, we know he's going to miss time, but we don't know how much time, so could he start on IR? Maybe that's how they both get on. But other than that, it's hard to see how they both get on. So, where, you know, if they are, then who else is going? So, and then I guess maybe another argument would be the third, you know, are they keeping a third quarterback, that type of deal?
Yeah. Are they going to keep a third quarterback?
I don't know. I think one question I do want to try to ask Quinn today, we'll see how it goes, is, okay, so if we're over the competition part for number one, what about two? I mean, Mariota has been, I'm not assuming this groin injury is that serious, but he's still been working on the side. He's not been out here today in the 11th. But even beyond that, like, I'm not saying that Jeff Driscoll has, like, blown him away or anything in practice, but I just, for me personally, I just think, like, Driscoll's got more aggressiveness in his game, both as a runner, but also throwing it down the field. And maybe down the field isn't always going to be the best idea if he throws it into traffic, but Mariota's a lot more conservative. So I'm curious. Like, I don't think he would go because they like him for nothing else as a mentor for Jaden Daniels. But, you know, I don't know. It may be absolutely nothing. I'm just possibly overthinking it, which is standard for me in life. But I do kind of wonder if that's any kind of a discussion that would lead to, would they keep three? Now, Sam Hartman, I haven't forgotten about him. He's obviously been out with a shoulder injury. We'll see what his status is for this week. He's been out here today, so it's not like he's clearly going on the IR staff or something. But, yeah, what do they think about him? How does that factor in as well?
You know, last year they implemented the new emergency third quarterback rule, you know, after the 49ers in that championship game against Philadelphia were forced to basically play Christian McCaffrey, a quarterback, you know, in a title game. And that third quarterback has to be on the 53-man roster, I'm pretty sure, but, you know, doesn't need to be active on game day, but could play in the event that the first two quarterbacks got hurt. So he dresses. And I don't know, I kind of lost touch last year. Our team only had Howell and Brissett, right? There was never a third quarterback. But I wonder how many teams did have a third quarterback because of that rule on their 53-man roster. And do you remember? Wait, Washington didn't have a third quarterback last year.
They just had Jake Fromm on the practice squad all year, the rule that you're discussing. I think it's a good question. You know, you could make the argument on the one hand, you know, again, I'm not discounting that they're going to try to win as many games as they can, but if we're, you know, with an over-under of 6.5 wins, you know, maybe they think, hey, we don't need a third quarterback if something goes that haywire. Well, you know, it's probably not like about a game costing us the playoffs, that type of deal. On the other hand, if you're a team that's a, you know, going to truly be scrapping for a wild card spot or a division title, then maybe that's got to be more of an emphasis for, even if it's the worst case scenario. But we'll see. You know, if it's Hartman, I would think that would be more because, hey, they think there's something here, and maybe he's their backup quarterback next year. If it's Driscoll, it just may be either, like I said, either A, maybe he's, you know, has a shot to play it too, or just, hey, he's a veteran. By the trade deadline, there's injuries happen, maybe we can trade him for, even if it's that conditional seventh or whatever. I don't think that's inconceivable. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 49ers. They kept three quarterbacks on their roster all year long last year. Just, you know, trying to sense what Adam Peters thought or comes from.
Sure.
They had Purdy, Darnold, and Brandon Allen on the roster, on the 53-man roster all last year.
You would think they would after what happened in that.
Of course. Yes. But also taking advantage of the rule that would allow you in that event to do it. Talking to Ben Standing, of course, you said as it relates to corners, the first four seem locked in. You're talking about St. Juice, Davis, San Ristil, and Forbes, right? So you expect Forbes to be on the roster.
Yeah, I haven't really considered them moving on from him.
Right.
You know, not just because he's only going to his second year, but I would think, you know, if you're Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, this is a guy you want to see at the project. You know, maybe they clearly didn't view Jahan Dotson in that way, but considering, you know, the success they had in Dallas with Trevon Diggs and Brand, you know, leading the league in interceptions in consecutive years, Brand setting the record for most touchdowns, interceptions returned for touchdown last year when Forbes is the guy who held the career record in college, I can't imagine that they wouldn't view him as somebody to work with. Not to mention last week, before Miami week, Dan Quinn said he probably thought it was Forbes' best week. I think there's still a question about, like, who are going to be the, you know, outside starters. And, you know, yesterday Joe Witt talked about how Mike Sanders, so they're using him even more now on the outside, even in two receiver sets, which, you know, at his size, you wouldn't have thought that would be the way they would go. But, you know, play in, play out, he really has kind of been looking the most consistent, mostly working out of the slot, but with effort and, you know, certain field maturity out there. But, you know, Forbes, and he mentioned specifically Sanders with St. Juice, so we'll see if that actually is a harbinger of what's to come. But, yeah, that's still...
If Sanders is on the outside with St. Juice and they're in nickel, who's the nickel corner?
Well, I guess, you know, look, I think... I'm not saying that their safety room is strong, but I think they maybe have a few more options. Well, it could be, unless they leave him in the back. You know, they've been talking about, you know, Dominic Hanson playing some linebacker. I don't know if that means he would be with the ones, but, you know, I'm just saying that's a possibility. It could be Quan Martin. You know, maybe Percy Butler has been out there a lot when they were doing three safeties. So he could easily be the flop guy. I feel like that's where they're viewing him as a contributor. So, you know, look, I think, you know, we talk so much about forwards. It's hard to exactly gauge how these guys are doing with no pass rush and all that. But, you know, I don't know that, like, Mike Davis is, like, crushing it out here. So, I don't think you have to have him on the field. And, you know, if they don't feel like Forbes, and yes, going three safeties wouldn't be crazy at all.
What do they think of KJ Henry so far?
Well, I would think they've got to be somewhat impressed. He's been one of the more consistent presences on the defensive line. And obviously, yes, the caveats, he's typically going up against, like, backups and things like that. But, you know, I think he's shown good discipline on the edge. I think he's shown good technique getting after the quarterback. And this goes to the Jamin Davis thing. Like, I don't want to keep talking on this, but, like, I feel like Henry is over Davis. So I don't, you know, now all of a sudden he's either your fifth defensive end, Jamin, or maybe sixth, depending on what they think of Jean-Baptiste. So I think Henry's looked pretty good. You know, Dante Fowler has been out of practice for the last, I don't know, few sessions. I don't get the sense that it's anything serious. Could just be, hey, you're a veteran. Let's go over there and don't stress yourself. But I can see Henry being ahead of Fowler ultimately, just to have a younger guy out there to go with Farrell and Armstrong. So, yeah, I think Henry's looked pretty good to me.
How much have you seen of either three tight end sets or two backs, two tight ends, you know, when you've been able to watch practice? Have you seen Ertz, Bates, and Sinnott on the field at the same time?
I don't think so in a traditional passing set. I mean, you know, if they're doing some sort of goal line or short yardage runs, maybe, but I haven't seen that a ton. It's definitely been more, you know, three receivers and possibly four, and, you know, one running back and that type of deal. I do think, you know, I know that the Cliff Kingsbury reputation is three and four receivers, and, you know, certainly that's going to be a part of what they do. But when you look at this group in totality, the questions at tackle, the young quarterback, the fact that you probably going to want to emphasize the run game, I can see them playing a fair amount of 12 personnel with two tight ends out there, because, and with John Bates in particular being one of them, because he's really, you know, he continues to stand out as a blocker. And, you know, again, if we're going to have these questions about tackle, which are fair, then that's a good way to help to chip, you know, for one of the guys on the outside to block, to be a lead. You know, maybe they have a design play for Jaden where he, you know, gets that in front of him. I think we saw some of that in the last game. So I don't know about three tight ends, but again, I also would say this, like in the notion of who's going to be the second receiver, you know, with Jahan gone, sure, we're going to look at De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus, but I think going with, you know,
Ertz,
multiple tight ends, going with Eckler or Robinson, Fred, I think those are the people who probably benefit as much in terms of targets.
I'd throw the backs in there too.
Receivers. Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's conceivable that Robinson and Eckler both catch, you know, 40 passes, you know, depending on how things go. You know, maybe more in Eckler's case, depending on if he's purely a, you know, if he's almost like the number two guy when he's in there. So, yeah, I I'm not saying that they have tons of weapons, but I think that their weapons are more diverse than just saying who's the second and third receiver right now.
Last one, and I'll let you run and get back to practice. Is Brandon Coleman penciled in week one as a left tackle starter if he's healthy and can practice, you know, starting next week in the lead up to the Tampa game?
Quinn said the other day he wasn't worried about the lack of practices for him, but just more of the progression. And it seems like, you know, they've been impressed with the progression. But that said, you know, he hasn't been out there really since before the preseason opener. So, you know, rookie and all that, I don't know how comfortable you would ultimately feel. And, you know, look, my thing with a guy like, say, Lucas, is that it's not that he can't go out there and be a solid tackle for you. It's just that I don't know if he can do it for 17 games, maybe not even 10, maybe not even 8. But they're fine if he's out there. So I think to that end, maybe they can give Coleman more time to get back to whatever it is, you know, game speed, et cetera. But, you know, before that, he certainly was looking like he was going to be that guy. But, you know, you got to be out here to some degree, especially when you're a rookie. So we'll see how much, you know, Quinn is, that's really true. He's not worried about the missing time. I would have to think, though, that's got to be some factor here.
All right, there's actually one more, because you and I have had this hunch for a while, going back even before camp began, and that is that there was a desire to have Kaz Allen make this team and be a big part of their return game. It's clear, I mean, you had the offensive coordinator mention Deebo Samuel and Kaz Allen in the same sentence yesterday. They love him. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I'm wondering if Sunday night, it's like they have to see it. They got to see a big return, or they've got to see a big run out of the backfield, or they got to see a big result, you know, on a reverse out of the slot. Is it big Sunday night for Kaz Allen to produce something special, or do you think that he's penciled in already?
I do kind of think this is one case where you got to see it, right? This is like, you know, your buddy saying his in high school that he's got a girlfriend in Canada, and maybe he even shows you a picture, but you're like, I need to see this to believe it. Like, okay, I get it. Like, you know, the last staff too, they
Kevin Malone,
to
she goes to another school, Ben. That's why you don't know her. She goes to another school.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I get it. You know, his high school records are off the charts. Like, literally the best, you know, most touchdowns in a season, right, for any high school player ever. I think I heard you talking about that before.
Yeah.
So there's that. He's a fun element to have out there. He's a gadget guy that you see teams have. But, again, at some point you have to have it. He fumbled last week. I'm with you. I mean, I think all things being equal, they'll find a way to keep him, but it's not like we've seen a ton of actual production from him yet. So, yeah, it would be good for Sunday for no fumbles and actually making a play or two.
All right. We'll talk on Monday, and at that point, we can go through your projected 53. I would imagine by Monday at noon when you come on with me, even though the cut down date and time is 4 p.m., although we don't know how this regime handles it. They may give us the 37, you know, cuts all in one fell swoop, but I would imagine they would start to cut some of these players loose on Monday, don't you?
It's possible. You know, so many of the things we're learning, you know, this is the first time, obviously, we're dealing with Peters and Quinn in so many regards, and this is another one. Do they, you know, does it get strung out, or do they, you know, just say, okay, we know what we want to do, let's go? But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if by Monday we start getting some looks. I mean, look, they've already made some choices. Like, they, you know, even with Jahan, they're not afraid clearly to say, yep, we're moving on from this and not to overthink it. You know, they've cut some other guys and we all might have thought, oh, maybe that player had a chance to make the team, and they moved on. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm sure they already know a handful of guys who definitely are not going to stay. And the ones that are, they'll, you know, that may take more deliberation.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody, during a segment sponsored by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Denton's got a college football preview segment planned for us next. It opens up tomorrow in Dublin, Georgia Tech, and Florida State. And I may have, before the end of the show, the first smell test pick of 2024. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.